Well, today we are entering our third week of a seven-week campaign on this theme of transformation. How many of you have enjoyed it so far? Anatoly did a great job sharing last week. You know, the hardest part about following Anatoly when he preaches is having to wear this mic after Anatoly wears it. I don't know how big his left ear is, but I can never get the mic to fit on my ear properly in the week after it. So if I'm fiddling with it today, it's Anatoly's fault, okay? I won't say it. It's like that groove on your couch. If somebody sits in it, it ruins your groove, right? I guess I did say it. I've been really blessed to see so many of you engaging on this journey of transformation with us. And I think, and I know that God has been challenging us. I know that God has been changing us already. I've heard some really good stuff coming out of it. And so far, we've looked at spiritual health. And last week, we looked at physical health. And today, I get to tackle this massive topic of mental health and try and do it justice in 45 minutes? Will you give me 45 today? The theme of this series is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I want to read it to you today from the New Living Translation because it puts it this way. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You know, we often cry out to God, change my circumstances. But I want to suggest to you that the greatest need that we have is not for our circumstances to change, but actually for our thinking to change. God is, of course, concerned about our circumstances, but he is more concerned with what is happening on the inside of us. Because it's the renewing of our minds, it's the changing of our thinking that leads to transformation. And that's what God is interested in. Having a healthy mind and learning how to manage our mind, I believe, is crucial. And there's three reasons for it. I'll give them to you. The first reason why managing our minds is so crucial is that it's our thoughts that control our lives. Every single action we do begins with a thought. If you don't think it, you don't do it. If it's a good thought, you're going to do something good. If it's a bad thought, you're going to do something bad. But your thoughts control your life. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, if you read it out of the Good News Translation, it puts it like this. Be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. Sometimes we just dismiss the thoughts in our brain, they're no big deal. But actually, the Bible warns us about the power that is in our thoughts. They have tremendous ability to shape our lives, either for good or for evil. I remember a number of years ago when I first started teaching school. I used to be a school teacher before I was a pastor. And I had this one girl in my class who was absolutely convinced. She was, I think, a grade 8 or grade 9 student. And she was absolutely convinced in her mind that she could not do math. In fact, one of the first things she told me when she got into my classroom, I can't do math. I said, well, we'll see about that. No, I can't do math. And I don't know what caused her to have this belief. I don't know what circumstances, what was said to her. I don't really know what it was, but she was so convinced that she could not do math that it absolutely paralyzed her. And so she really struggled. And I remember in particular one day, I was trying to make some adaptions for her to help her. And so I had her sit at my desk and I said, I'm going to give you the exam questions. And we're going to go through them. And you're going to learn how to do them. And then I'm going to give you the exam with the exact same questions that we've just done. Sound good? She said, okay. She sat at my desk. I went through the explanation with her, and I said, okay, do the questions for me. Question 1, absolutely correct. Question 2, absolutely correct. We went through 10 questions. I was excited. I said, see, you can do math. You've got it. Now I'm going to give you these exact same 10 questions. Go sit at the testing table. She sat at the table. I handed her the test, and she sat there, and she froze. And I'll never forget it. Her hand was trembling on her pencil like this. And I went over to her and I said, "What's the matter?" And these tears just started flowing down her cheeks. And she said to me, "I can't do math. I can't do math." I said, "You just did it at my desk. You just did every single one of these questions 100% right. I can't do math, teacher. It's blank." Now, I'd love to tell you that in my teaching genius, I was able to really help her, but I'm not totally sure that was the case. I believe that this girl could do math. She had the ability. I saw it. But there was some sort of a thought pattern that she had, this paralysis, this something in her brain that absolutely limited her in this area. Now, this is a minor example. I realize that. I'm sure she went on to be a great artist or something. Actually, I don't really know where she's at today. But the point is that what you believe is who you are. What you believe is who you are. It doesn't even have to be true. But if you believe it, it's who you are. It's going to shape your life. And some of us have had things that were said to us that weren't true, but they have absolutely shaped who we are today. Some of these things happened when we were children. Some of these things happened years ago. But today we're still living off of this false information. And the only way to be transformed is we have to change how we think. Another reason why we need to manage our minds is because the mind is the battleground for sin. All temptation that I face happens in my mind. Sometimes we think, well, the temptation came from out there. Something that's external. It was something that I saw out there that was tempting us. But listen, it wouldn't tempt you if there wasn't a desire inside of you somewhere for it. And so the battle is in the mind. Sin happens in your mind. That's where it's birthed. That's where it starts. And when we talk about the sins of pride and lust and bitterness and hatred and anger and resentment, where are those things? Those are all in our minds. And so if we can learn to manage our minds, we will have learned how to manage life. It starts in the mind. And Paul speaks of this battle in the mind in Romans chapter 7, verse 22. In verse 23, he says, "For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and it makes me a prisoner of the law of sin that's at work within me." Notice the language that Paul uses here. He's talking about a war. He's talking about being a prisoner. He says, there is a mind battle that I'm fighting, and it wants to make me a slave, a prisoner. And you know that sometimes this battle is exhausting because it's constant, and it's so intense at times. Why is this? I believe it's because our brains and our minds are our greatest asset. I believe that Satan wants to control our mind. The world wants to control our mind. You see, there is a battle for how you think, because whatever gets your attention gets you. Whatever gets your attention gets you. And so there is a battle for the mind. The third reason I believe that we need to manage our minds is because the mind is the key to peace. It's the key to happiness. I believe if we can truly learn to manage our minds, that our peace of mind will increase dramatically, as well as our happiness and enjoyment of life. An unmanaged mind leads to tension. A managed mind leads to tranquility. An unmanaged mind leads to pressure. A managed mind leads to peace. An unmanaged mind leads to conflict and chaos. A managed mind leads to confidence. An unmanaged mind leads to stress. But a managed mind leads to strength, and it leads to security, and it leads to serenity. The Bible puts it this way in Romans 8, chapter 6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. It kills you. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life, leads to peace. My prayer is that God would help us to manage our minds more effectively so that we could experience His life and His peace. I want to switch gears now by talking about three daily choices that the Scripture teaches that every one of us needs to make in order to have a healthy mind. But before I do that, I just want to mention here that the principles that I'm giving, they are important no matter what your mental state or what your mental health presently is. However, I recognize that some of you who have mental illness or have experienced perhaps severe trauma in your lives may have a harder time taking these steps that I'm about to share with you. For some, it may even require medical help or medication to help the brain function more effectively. I thank God for His words. I thank Him for His power to set us free, to break chains in our life. And I also thank God for the wisdom that He gives doctors, that He gives healthcare professionals that assist us in healing as well. I thank Him for both. And I don't stand before you this morning as a mental health expert. I'm a phys ed teacher, for goodness sakes. But I do believe the Bible gives us principles that work. And in our church, we believe in counseling. We believe in the power of God. And we believe in the wisdom that He gives through study and research and doctors. We believe in it all. And sometimes we find that the lines cross and they blur and they work together. But we acknowledge God is in it all. And I believe this. I've always said this. I believe in the best of medicine and I believe in the best of Jesus. If you got a headache, pray and take a Tylenol. I know people in this church personally that I have literally prayed with in the mental health ward of the general hospital who were in the darkest moments in their life because of their mental health, that are here today who are transformed in their lives. And for some, their journey involved medication that allowed them to manage their thoughts better and be better equipped to make the choices that I'm about to talk about. And so I'm saying this because I think sometimes people get this idea that churches just preach, you know, it's one trip to the altar and you're fixed. And for some, it is one trip to the altar and they're fixed. And I don't understand how this all works, but I know that God uses all these things and I preach and believe in them all. And may God give us wisdom as we navigate through these waters. But wherever you are on your journey of mental health, these three choices that the Scripture challenges us to take are the choices we all need to make. Does that make sense? Am I okay? It's intimidating speaking on this subject, believe me. So here are the three choices I believe we need to make for a healthy mind. Number one, I must feed my mind with truth. If you want to have a healthy mind, you need to feed it with truth. I think we've all heard the expression, you are what you eat. I have to be honest with you and say I have not been a good eater for years. I'm talking about physically. I've been one of those persons that's too lazy to get up in the morning to make a lunch many days. And the fact that I live right next to I work right next to the Northgate Mall is not good. Because, I'll be fine, I don't need lunch, and lunchtime hits, I'm like, oh, I'm so starving, I need something to eat, and the mall's just right there. And so, if I'm truthfully honest with you, I don't even like to look at my my credit card bill, which I pay off every month, by the way. Dave Ramsey, I do pay it off every month. I don't run a balance on it. But I don't like to look sometimes at how much I spend at Tim Hortons, how much I spend at the mall. I mean, Tim Hortons is just down the street, and I love me some French vanilla. And so as a result, at 45 years of age, I stepped on the scale about a month ago and realized I'm 25 pounds heavier than I was when I got married. In 25 years, I've put on 25 pounds. And I said to myself, if you keep going at this rate, Joel, I haven't been feeling so good. I'm finding that something has changed in my metabolism. I look at a donut and I gain a pound now. And so I've wanted to make a change for a while. Actually, years I've wanted to make a change, to be honest with you. A few years ago, I started counting calories and I lost some weight. But I discovered I was hungry all the time. And I thought, I cannot live the rest of my life hungry. And so I stopped. But I've seen some guys in our church like Anatoly. Have you realized how much weight that dude has lost? I see some of our old pictures from Africa, like 2 years ago. I'm like, Anatoly, you ate yourself. It's amazing how much weight he's lost. And Corey Christoffel, I'm like, and these guys have lost weight and kept it off. They've been inspiring me and challenging me. I hate eating lunch with Anatoly because he's so condescending as he eats his salad. And then we got Linton in our life group who was challenging me at Christmas Eve how he just thought, I gotta change my lifestyle. And he said, in three areas, I've been changing my lifestyle. And one of them was his health. And it convicted me, and he was saying, speaking to me about how, you know, he's going to the gym and it costs him this much money and he's got this personal trainer. I'm thinking, I don't have that money and I don't have that kind of time, but can I borrow your information? And so I copied his lean body nutrient balance protocol sheet that he paid good money for, and I said, can I just photocopy it? And I've been making it a goal to change my lifestyle. I'm 2.5 weeks in. Got a long ways to go. But I said, I need food that I like to eat. I just need something that I like to eat because everything that I look at, I don't like it when they tell me you need to eat these things. I just need some good food that I like to eat. He said, he gave me a sheet. He goes, you'll find something that you like on all these things. And it's sort of this whole balancing thing. And I could like that. I do like that. The amazing thing is I'm eating more calories than I normally ever eat. And I'm not hungry, and I've dropped almost 10 pounds in 2.5 weeks. It's amazing. I'm eating more and weighing less, but I eat a lot of stinking carrots now. I had my first Tim Hortons in 2.5 weeks yesterday because I thought, you deserve it. You've lost 10 pounds. But here's my point. I believe the same thing applies to our thought life. If I want to be mentally healthy, I can't feed my mind junk food. I can't feed my mind poison and think, I'll be okay. You can't be okay. You have to feed it the proper stuff. And the proper stuff is the truth. If you don't eat truth, you're not going to do well. You're going to be sick. Jesus said in John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In order to live the best life you can live, you need to live with the most accurate information about yourself that you can find. And the most accurate information about yourself is contained within this book. You got to eat it. And one of the reasons why we are encouraging you to use the journals and memorize scripture and be daily in the Word of God over these next 50 days is we want you to have a truth encounter. Because if you don't have a truth encounter, you're not going to be transformed. You have to change the way you think. Jesus said to the devil in Matthew 4, verse 4, human beings cannot live on bread alone, but they need every word that God speaks. Every word, you need to eat it all. You need to eat every word that comes from God. You need to chew on it. You need to enjoy it. You need to digest it. You need to let His word become a part of you and the source of your life. You can't just snack on the Word of God. Say, well, I'm going to eat junk 90% of the time, but as long as I have a good meal once a week. No. I eat some healthy things sometimes. It has to be a lifestyle change. His Word has to become a part of you. You need to make a lifestyle choice and eat this truth all the time. All day long, every day. If you're constantly thinking about truth, I promise you it will change your mind. It will renew your mind. It will change your life. I want you to listen to some of these things that David said. In Psalm 119, verse 147, he said, I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help, and I put my hope in your words. David, what is David saying? Before I even start my day, this is how I started. This is how I start my day. I get up before the sun gets up and I cry out to God. I spend time in prayer and I build my day on hope. I start my day with hope. I find hope in His Word. That's how I begin my day. I start there. Do you know that in Scripture there are over 7,000 promises? If you want a renewed mind, I want to challenge you, become a promise person. Some people, when I talk to them, they just spew negativity all the stinking time. And others, when you talk to them, they spew the promises all the time. You want to be healthy mentally, become a promise person. Know the promises, digest the promises, eat the promises, build your life, as we said this morning, on the promises. You know, I have times when anxiety attacks me. I had an experience in this last year where I went home after work and I was anxious. And I thought, what are you anxious for? And I could not find a reason why I was anxious. And yet all night long I was anxious. I was anxious. I had never battled anxiety like that before in my life. And I realized it's just the combination of stress and all these things. Even when I don't need to be stressed, I haven't learned how to turn off my brain. What do I do? I know the promises of God. I've built my life on them, and I'm determined to live my life on them. And I just took that word, and you've heard this many times before, but this is one of my favorite promises that I root on. For God has not given me a spirit of timidity. God has not given me a spirit of intimidation. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but He has filled me with a spirit of power. He has filled me with love. He has filled me with a sound mind. That is who I am in Christ Jesus. That is one of my promises that I stake my life on. And I battle intimidation. I tell this to you all the time. Every time I preach, every time I stand in Africa, every time I got to do something for God, the enemy is always there whispering. He's always there lying to me. He's always there telling me I'm not smart enough. I'm not capable enough. I don't do this enough. I hear all those thoughts all the time. And if I entertain those thoughts, they paralyze me. And I do nothing. But I have learned, and I'm learning, to stake my life on the promises of God and to root myself there. And sometimes I get victory for 30 seconds, and then I got to run right back in there. And I go down, and then I got to run right back in there. and run right back in there and run right back in there and root my life on the hope that's in the Word of God. It's a battle. It's a battle. It's a lifestyle change. Some of you do not have a lifestyle of rooting yourself in truth. God help us to change our lifestyle. The next verse, David says, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night. Why? That I may meditate on your promises. What's he saying? I start the day in your promises, I start the day in hope, and I end the day in hope. David was serious about filling his mind with truth. Let me give you just one example of how serious he was. You know that David ran for his life from King Saul for many years. Saul was jealous of him, trying to kill him. Daily, his life was hanging by a thread. Literally, he would wake up in the morning and go, this might be it for me. People were after him, looking to kill him. This is profound. David says these words in Psalm 119, verse 95. Though the wicked hide along the way to kill me, I will quietly keep my mind on your laws. Isn't that incredible? Lord, as I go down the road, I don't know who's coming out from behind the bush. There are people that are weighing in late to kill, weighing to kill me. But he said, I will quietly keep my mind on your laws. It speaks of peace. He said, but I'm not going to live in the fear of who's hiding in the bush. I'm going to keep my mind on your truth, on who you are. And I'm going to be at peace. You see, the Word of God was so much a part of David's life that it shaped his whole outlook on life and consequently shaped him. He says, I don't care what's going on in my life, morning, noon, and night, even when people are trying to kill me, I have one thing I do, I keep my mind on the truth. Do you do that in crisis? Joel, do you do that? Not as much as I need to. That's called managing your mind and feeding your mind daily with truth. A second choice that the Bible teaches that we need to make for a healthy mind is this. I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. Church, all of us have some things in our mind that we need to be liberated from. Every one of us. We have some negative thought patterns that we're a prisoner to. Even the most holy amongst us, whoever that is, I promise you they have some negative patterns that they need to be set free from. For some of us, those are words that have been spoken over us that simply weren't true. For others, there were things that happened to you that shaped the way you think about yourself. But as I said before, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. If you believe it, it's affected your life. And so we've got to free our minds from some of these destructive thoughts if we're going to flourish in our life. And we know this isn't easy. And the reason it's not easy is because we have three enemies. We have three enemies that are gang tackling us, trying to keep us bound, keeping us from having our minds liberated and fulfilling our good intentions. These enemies are not going to give up ground easily. You're going to have to fight to free your mind. What are these enemies? The first enemy is our old nature, our sin nature. The old nature is the sin nature that you were born with. Because of the sin of Adam, I'm not going to get all theological this morning, but sin came into the world. And every one of us are born into sin. We're born with a sin nature. I never had to teach my children how to sin. They figured it out. Before they could even speak, I still remember the day I discovered that Eden was a sinner. She was sitting in our living room on the floor by the wall, and we had the outlet to plug in the, you know, to plug in the stereo or whatever. And she was curious, and so she crawled over to the wall, and she was putting her fingers on the outlet, and you know how tiny those fingers are, and they can fit in one of those little slots. And so I said, Eden, no, no. And of course, she couldn't speak at that time, and she just sort of looked at me like this. I thought, you little sinner. You little sinner. Who taught you this stuff? We didn't have to teach her. She couldn't even speak, and she already learned how to disobey her parents and rebel. We're born into sin. But when we turn our lives over to Jesus, and when we receive Jesus as our Savior, something powerful happens. He puts a new nature inside of us. And our new nature is not controlled by sin. And our new nature has one desire. I just want to please Jesus. But until we get to heaven, that old nature is still inside of us. We have two natures, and there's a war between the two. And we have a choice which nature we're going to live by. We can choose which nature we're going to live out of, but a battle rages within. This is what Paul was speaking about in Romans 7:23. But there is another power within me that's at war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. As we saw earlier, Paul is using war language here. If you ever find yourself doing the things that you don't want to do, that's the battle. You have all of the best intentions in your new nature. But the battle in your brain is with your old nature. The old nature is the source of your bad habits. Romans 8:35 says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. But I want you to notice here that it's all about the brain. It's about how you think. So you might have a good intention for changing something in your life, but your old nature is going to fight you on it every step of the way. Your old nature is in direct opposition to the things of God. Your new nature says, I want to be the best husband and the best father that I can be for my children. Your old nature says, you're tired. A little porn isn't going to kill you. They are in direct opposition to one another. And there's a battle. The more Holy Spirit you have, the more you surrender to the Holy Spirit in your life, the more you're going to think about the things that please the Spirit. The more you feast on the Word of God, the more you're going to be controlled by the Spirit of God. But it's all about the brain. It's about how we think. The second enemy that's going to fight is Satan himself. Satan wants to control your mind. As I said, whoever gets the mind gets you. And so he sends ideas and he sends thoughts into it. But I want to be real clear. Satan cannot force you to do anything. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And the Bible says that greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. But the devil can make suggestions. And those suggestions are very, very powerful. And he's constantly planting negative thoughts in our minds. Sometimes he uses other people. Sometimes he uses something you saw or something you heard. Or he'll just throw a thought in your mind out of nowhere. And you think, where in the world did that thought come from? Man, I have had horrible thoughts right in the middle of praying for somebody. What on earth? And so one of the things that we need to realize is that we can't believe everything we think. You can't believe everything you think. I showed you this little clip a couple years ago. I did a series on mind wars. And I made this point back then. Ange and I were on a trip home from Scottsdale, Arizona with our children in the back. And they were engrossed in movies and books. And so they weren't paying attention to what was happening on the road. But we came up on the cab of a semi who was being towed by a semi. So it was like the cab was facing us. And it was too good of an opportunity to pass by. And so I looked at Ange. She was already thinking what I was thinking. She had that twinkle in her eye and she had the phone ready. And so here's the little clip from that time. Jesus, help us.
Oh my gosh, Dad.
Did that scare you?
You gave me a heart attack.
Did Debbie, you're going to need to schedule some time for them at some point in their lives. I loved that. That was so fun. What happened in this video? I pulled in behind this semi that looked like it was coming straight at us. It wasn't, though. I slammed on my brakes. You didn't quite catch that in the video, but I hit the brakes hard. I said, oh my goodness, to create this, like, we are in trouble here. Slammed on the brakes. They looked up to see a semi coming through the windshield. That's what they thought was happening. Everything around them was causing them to think this. The things that I said, my reaction, the view that was in front of them, they were convinced that their life was over. JL said, you gave me a heart attack. Poor child. But then I pulled the van over to the side, you saw it, and they realized the truth. You see, naturally, we naturally feel that if we think something, it must be true because it comes from within inside of us. But just because you think something doesn't mean it's true. We have a sin nature that lies to us. We have an enemy who likes to ride around in the van with us, and he's always looking for opportunities to deceive us into thinking one way when the opposite is true. Don't believe everything you think. You know, if you don't hear anything else this morning, that phrase in itself might be one of the most liberating thoughts that you can have. Don't believe everything you think. There is a lot of stuff, maybe even a majority of stuff that we think that isn't true at all. We have all these ideas and think, I thought it, so it must be true. But we need to realize that just because you get a thought in your mind, it may come from your old nature, it may come from the devil. It doesn't really matter where it comes from. If it's not true, it's not true. And we don't have to believe everything we think. Understanding this truth can put us on the road to mental health right there. There is stuff that you think about yourself, stuff that you think about God, stuff that you think about your husband, that you think about your wife, that is not true. Do not believe everything you think. From the moment you wake up, my experience is this: Satan is right there dropping little seeds, thoughts into your brain. You stand in front of the mirror and you go, today's just not going to be a good day. Life is going to be really bad. Nobody's going to like you. Look at yourself. You've gained 25 pounds since you got married. You're ugly. I mean, right from go. And you start getting all this talk in your brain. Why in the world am I even trying? It's not going to be any different. He starts giving you all these reasons to give up. And you haven't even got out of your bathroom yet. And then sometimes he says things like this, go ahead, you deserve it. You've lost 10 pounds. You deserve a French vanilla. Go ahead, get angry. Go ahead and get even. How dare they say that to you? And he's just constantly dropping these thoughts. Church, the Bible tells us not to be ignorant of the devil's schemes. And we need to face his lies head on with the truth of God's word. We've got enemy number one, the flesh, or our sin nature. We've got enemy number two, that's the devil. We've got a third enemy, and that is the world's value systems. The world has a value system. Do you realize that? That runs counter to the kingdom of God. It's promoted by advertisers. It's promoted by movies. It's promoted by television. It's promoted in songs. It's certainly promoted by celebrities. And often these values are not encouraging you to live responsible, mentally healthy lives. 1 John 2:16 says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but these are from the world. So everything around you, all the commercials, all the media, they're usually not encouraging you to think smart, to think healthy, to think wise. They're encouraging you to do the other thing. You deserve a break today. So how do you fight this battle? You have all the best intentions for changing, but then you've got this triple threat of your own old nature within you, the devil coming against you, the world around you, and it's no wonder that you keep struggling with discouragement and despair and failure and things like that. So how do we fight the mental battle? Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And so we demolish arguments. We demolish every pretension that sets itself up against the truth, against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and we make it obey Christ. That's the war. That's how you win the war. Notice the warfare language. He's talking about the battle that's going in our minds. He says, we demolish strongholds. You say, what's a stronghold? A stronghold is simply this. It's a lie that you believe. If you believe the lie, it's a stronghold in your life. The lie might be this. God doesn't really love me. The lie might be, I know better than God what will make me happy. Anything that I believe that is a lie is called a spiritual stronghold in my life. A stronghold could be a false value system in the world. It could be a philosophical system like hedonism that says the only thing that matters is my pleasure. Or it could be a materialistic worldview that says the only thing that matters is making money. These things are lies. If I believe them, then I get a stronghold in my life. It could also be a personal attitude like this. I'm never going to forgive that person. That's a stronghold. I can't forgive myself. That's a stronghold. I'm never going to amount to anything. That's a stronghold. If something bad is going to happen, it's going to happen to me. That's a stronghold. That is a lie that you are believing. Every one of those goes contrary to what this book says. Something bad is going to happen, it's going to happen to me. No, no. Paul says if you're going to learn to be mentally healthy, you've got to learn how to demolish strongholds in your life. Behind every sin is some lie that you're believing. The Bible calls Satan the father of lies. That's all he speaks. He doesn't know how to speak the truth. Every word that comes out of his mouth is a lie. But Jesus is the opposite. He said, I am the truth. And the truth sets you free. Satan is a liar. He wants to enslave you. Jesus wants to free you. One speaks lies that enslaves. One speaks truth that sets you free. So the strongholds need to be destroyed. How do we fight the mental battle? Notice two phrases. First, it says we take captive. Those words in the Greek literally mean to conquer. Like when you conquer a country. When your army invades and you conquer it. To bring under control. I take it captive. I conquer it. Then the other phrase I want you to notice is we make it obedient. We take every thought captive and we make it obedient. I'm just an anxious person. No, I'm taking that thought captive. The good book says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. The Bible says that if I take my requests and my submissions to God, that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard my heart and will guard my mind. So I'm going to take that thought of anxiety captive and I'm going to replace it with the truth. Brain, obey. Obey truth. Our thoughts often disobey us. They rebel against us. My mind often has a mind of its own. It wants to go another direction. When I want to ponder, my mind wants to wander. Have you experienced that? Sometimes when I go to pray, it's going 1,000 different directions. Sometimes when I start to pray, I say, God, my mind is going 1,000 different directions. I need your grace to pray. Help me to control my thoughts. You've given me a spirit of self-control. My mind doesn't have to go 1,000 different directions. And I just begin to pray. Just pray in the Spirit. Lord, let that Spirit of God that's within me rule in my body. Let it rule in my mind. Spirit of God, rule. I begin to speak to my flesh. No, no, you don't control me. You don't own me. The Spirit of God is my boss. Let His kingdom come. Let His will be done in my life. I submit to your rule and your lordship. Jesus is Lord over my life. It means Jesus is Lord over my thoughts. You got to bow the knee to Jesus, thoughts. You war. Paul is saying here, you have a choice. Your mind has to listen to you. As I said before, hear me. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Hear me. There are some people that are just, you know, at different stages, maybe even a mental illness, where they would say, I could not control my thoughts until I had some help. If that's where you are, get some help. But then once you get some help, you got to go to war. The principles are true. God didn't just give you a mind. He gave you a will and emotions. We'll talk about emotions next week, but part of your will is to bring your mind into order. And so in order to be effective and really win in life and enjoy life, we have to learn how to fight this battle of the mind. It's so important. The final choice we need to make is this. We need to focus our minds on the right things. I've already sort of alluded to that. But I've learned in my own life, just trying to take them captive isn't good enough. You got to replace one thought with another. That revelation really helped me. It's not, oh, stop thinking this way, stop thinking this way, stop thinking this way. It was making that intentional choice to think differently. Paul alludes to, this is not on your screen, it should have been. I never got it into my notes in time, but Paul said these words, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thank him for all he's done. It's changing your attitude. You begin to focus on what God has done for you, thanking God for what you've done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. You intentionally choose, I'm going to think this way. What is honorable? What is right? What is pure? What is lovely? What is admirable? Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And so Paul is talking, and the context is anxiety. You begin to take those things to God. Begin to thank him for who he is. Begin to turn your attention back to who God is and what his promises are and his faithfulness. And begin to fix your mind on things that are true and lovely and pure and right. And there is a war for that. I get it. And sometimes, as I said before, you get there and you go, whew, I'm there. And you feel the peace and you walk out of your office and the phone rings. You're like, oh my God, here I go again. I'm right back to where I was. But God, you get there and you get there and you get there. And you say, this is going to be my lifestyle. I'm not going to just give in. I'm not just going to accept, because I know that God has more for me than that. He came to set the captives free. And so I'm going to fight. Don't give up. Fight. Fight. A lifestyle change of staking your life on the word of God. Learn how to war. Learn how to war. David said, teach me how to war, he said to the guy. Teach me how to war. I think one of the most powerful prayers you can pray regarding your mental health is, Lord, teach me how to fight this fight. Teach me how to war. So what do you think about? I'll give you three suggestions. How about thinking about Jesus? When you feel like giving up, Hebrews 12:3, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Yet he went all the way to the cross. Then you won't become weary and give up. Oh God, I feel like giving up, but I remember you. And you know that everybody was against you, and yet you went all the way to me. You endured to give me life, to give me hope. If you could endure, if your grace was there for you, your grace will be there for me. I'm not going to give up. Here's a second thought. What should you think about? Think about somebody beside yourself. Think about others. I'm just going to be honest with you. I find people that really struggle with mental health are really self-absorbed. They're constantly talking about themselves. They're just talking about all the awful things that are happening in their life. And their focus is just all on them, on them, on them. Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. And I'm not making light of it. Some of them have horrible things that are going on in their lives. But even when you got horrible things going on in your lives, you can make a choice. And one of the most powerful choices that you can make is you can say, I'm going to stop meditating on all the things that are going on with me, and I'm going to think about other people, and I'm going to find other people to serve, and I'm going to find other people to bless, and I'm going to find a way to give a hope or to pray for somebody else. Philippians 2:4, don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others. There's something powerful that happens when you turn your focus off of your own problems and begin to focus on other people. Third thing, think about eternity. Church, even if your life doesn't get better, in this grand scheme of life, it's a blip. Most of our life is an eternity. It's just a tiny window. Hang in there. Hang in there. There's a day coming where there's no sorrow. There's no pain. Colossians 3, verse 2, think about the things of heaven, not the things on earth. 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. When I start living my life in light of eternity, my problems get a little bit more inferior to the joy, the glory, the pleasure, the enjoyment of the things we have to look forward to in eternity. Church, these are the three choices that the scripture challenges us to make for a healthy mind. Let's pray to God for the grace to do it. Is that okay? That's a lot I fired at you. Why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you that you came to set the captives free. Lord, every one of us are held captive by things in our brain. Some of us so severe, but it doesn't even matter. Every one of us has some areas in our life where we know this thing has robbed me. I'm a slave to this thing. And Father, I just pray for truth encounters. Lord, there are some revelations that only the Holy Spirit can give. And Lord, we're asking for those. Father, even those that are seeking counsel and those things, I pray that through the counsel they would get a revelation of truth. Father, as we read your word, I pray that we would get a revelation of truth. Father, I pray that you would help us to become promised people. People that learn how to war with the promises of God. People that learn how to fight. God, I pray for those that are so weary and so exhausted that have been battling and battling and battling and are just on the verge of giving up this morning. God, I pray for even new strength to come in them today. Lord, that they would have supernatural strength to continue to wage this war. And God, I pray that you would bring them into victory. God, I pray for those in the room today that are just overcome with anxiety, that are overcome with fear, that are overcome with worry, that are overcome with doubt. Oh, God, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would flood their minds with truth. I pray that you would flood their minds with peace. And God, I pray that there would be such a hunger and such a desire within each and every one of us to run to the Lord, to live in your presence, to chew daily on the word of God. God, I pray you give us that grace to even change our lifestyle and how we eat mentally, oh God. God, I pray that you do some radical transformations. Lord, I thank you for the Genesis process and those that are taking it this afternoon. Lord, I pray that there would be some life-changing truth encounters. That whole course is based on discovering the lies that we believe that are shaping our lives in the wrong way. And God, I pray that you would begin to reshape people's lives as they have truth encounters. Father, I pray that you would give us the courage to ask the question, am I believing a lie? Lord, some of us, we've become so comfortable with the lie that we don't even want to look for the truth. But God, I pray that you would challenge us to face those things and give us the grace to face our fears and to face the traumas and to face those difficult things that have bound us. Oh God, without your grace, we can't do it. And so, Lord, I just pray for more grace and more grace and more grace. And Lord, I pray for the people in our church and those that are hearing this message online. God, I pray this would be just a transformational year for them mentally. I pray that we would see some people that were literally in that mental health unit at this time next year going, God radically changed my life. Radically changed my mind. What used to be a weakness for me, God healed me. I had this trauma and God, by his grace, gave me the grace to face it and he began to heal me and I began to hear what he said about me and the lies began to be exposed and I began to replace them with the truth and God has set me free. Lord, we're looking for those kinds of testimonies and those kinds of stories and we know it's possible because you died to set us free. So help us, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm done. Have a great day, church.